for when this latter love is in men's souls. They will 446, the Paget Messages 1916, not cease from war and hatred, and carnal appetites will not be satisfied, because of the horrors that may attend these things, but because of the love that exists in their souls, which will not permit wars. Love will rule and men will forget hatred and all things which now form a part of their very existence. My work is to change men from the fallen man to the possessor of the divine love. Also, am I trying to teach men that originally they possessed a love that in its pure state would lead them from these things of hatred and war, and that their only salvation, outside of the possession of the divine love, is to again obtain this pure love, the purified natural love. But strange as it may seem to some, it is more difficult for a man to regain the state of the purification of his natural love, than to obtain the greater purification which comes with the possession of the divine love. I see that many centuries may pass before man will attain to this state of purification of his natural love that will enable him to say that because of his love, wars cannot come again and peace must reign. And hence, the great necessity for him to know that only with the coming of the divine love will come the impossibility of war and strife individually and nationally. So, when it is written or portrayed in pictures that I am on the fields of battle trying to show mankind the horrors of war, or that I am weeping over the slaughter of men, such writings or portrayals are not true. My mission is to reach the souls of men, as individuals, and turn them to the love of the Father. And my weeping or sorrow is, when men will not listen to the voice that comes to them all, as it calls them to turn to the Father and live. A dead body is of small consequence as compared to a dead soul, and there are so many that pass into the spirit world bring with them their dead souls. As the dead bodies lie on the fields of carnage, I know that there is nothing there that needs my help or sympathy. And the souls that leave these bodies are not in condition, at that time, to listen to my ministrations or consider their future existence. So you see there is no reason why I should visit the battlefields or try to help these newly born spirits, as I may describe them. No, Jesus, the elder brother, is not the physician for the mangled or wounded bodies or for the souls that come into the spirit world filled with hatred and antagonism at the time of their coming. Physical death in view of eternity is not of much moment. And while I know that to the ordinary mortal it is one of the most momentous of their existence, yet as I say, it is of comparatively 447, little importance. But, oh, the importance of the death of the soul, and the great necessity of striving to awaken that soul to life. Well, I have written enough now, and will stop. I see your friend with you and I must say to him that I am with him very often, and am pleased that he has arisen from death to life. And that the battlefield on which he has fought the fight of the soul is larger and more terrible in its aspects and evidences of carnage and destruction than the field of battle that is now destroying the physical bodies of so many of mankind. I mean that the whole world is the battlefield of the soul's fighting, and if men could only see the results, as they see the results of the war that is now shaking the whole earth, they would understand that the great war is not the one that is causing so many dead souls to enter the spirit world. Give him my love and blessings. I will come soon and write you a message of truth. So with all my love and blessings, I'm your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Mother. Let me write just a line. I am the mother of the boy who is sitting before you, and I want to tell him I am so very happy because I see that his condition of soul is so much improved with the possession of the love. He may not realize the difference in his condition now and that of a few months ago, and may believe that when he has the feelings of exaltation, which he has at times, that they all arise from the same condition of his soul, but I who can see just what his condition is, want to tell him that this is not just correct. For his soul now is filled with more of the love than it has ever been. He is developing day by day, and sometime before long he must not be surprised if there comes to him an experience that will show him just what his great work in furthering the desires of the Master, and the other spirits who are working in the great cause, will be. When that experience comes he will be greatly surprised and will possibly doubt, but he must remember what I am now saying to him, and believe that he is only receiving the realization of the promises that have been made to him, and that they are not more to be wondered at than were some of the powers and gifts bestowed upon the apostles when they lived on earth and were the followers of the Master. His work is just as important as was theirs, though he does not realize the importance of it at this time. But he will when the time comes, and then, oh, my boy, how you will be blessed, not so much on your own account, but, the Paget Messages 1916, because the power that you will have to do good to others, and demonstrate the truth of all the wonderful truths that have come through the messages. I write this tonight because I desire to encourage him in his search for the love and for the truth, and he must believe that he is not living merely to do the work of the ordinary mortal, but to do the work that has been given him by the Master and the other celestial angels. His work is his only, and he forms a part of those who will do a work that will revolutionize the thoughts and lives of the whole world. I am so happy in this knowledge, and he must believe what I say, and appreciate the responsibility that has been placed upon him, for he has been selected to do the work and no other can do it for him. Tell my son that I am truly his mother who thus writes, and what I say, I know to be true, and that if were not true I would not tell him. Pray more to the Father and let his faith increase, and he will find that every aspiration will become a thing of reality, and his soul perceptions will become to him as real as the perceptions of his mind in his earthly affairs. I will not write more now, and in closing will say that I love him, and the Master loves him, and the Father loves him with the great love that floods the whole universe. Good night and God bless you both. His Mother in Christ, Mrs. Priscilla Stone. I am here, Mary. Well, if his mother is permitted to write, I think that I should have the opportunity to say a few words. I heard what his mother wrote and know that it is true, for I am with him enough to see that he has made great progress in his soul development, and that the love is increasing and is filling his soul just as she says, the leaven filled the batch of dough. Well, you see, I can say something serious, even when I write to him, and why should I not, where he is concerned, for he is more important to me than any other mortal is, and I have a greater love for him than has any other spirit. He knows this, but I like to tell him, and if I felt like a little pleasantry, I would say that I wish to tell him, so he may not forget. I'm with him so much, that if he could know how much, he might get a little tired of my presence, but of course this is not true, and I would not thank anyone else to say so. Well, Helen says that you must not write more now, as your condition is not such as to be further drawn upon. 448. So with my love to him and regards to you, I will say good night. His own true, Mary Kennedy. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. What a wonderful message you had from the Master, and how earnest he was when he was writing. The glory of his countenance was blinding to even us, and the love that seemed to possess his very being was beyond our conception. He was truly the beloved Son of the Father, and the spirits present were bathed in his love to such an extent that they seemed to partake of his glory. Oh, my dear, it was all so wonderful. Your own true and loving, Helen. November 4, 1916. I am here, John. I merely want to say that what the Master and I said a few nights ago to Dr. Stone applies to your friend who is with you now, and he must realize the fact, and I wish he would take a copy of the writings and insert his name wherever that of the doctor occurs. He has more of this love and his soul than he realizes, and although at times he has some doubts, and the love seems to be dormant, yet it is there, and he must not lose faith in the fact. As long as he is immortal, these times of doubt and want of feeling of the presence of the love will come to him, but he must not let this discourage him. For as certainly as the sun shines, he has fought the battle of the soul and has come out victor, and he is now an accepted son of the Father. I would not tell him this if I did not see the condition of his soul and the presence of the love resting and living in it. We have all been much interested in his transformation because of the difficulty that has attended his fight, greater than he may conceive of. And when he commenced to get into that condition of awakening, he had the assistance of many more of the higher spirits than he has been informed of, for we left him alone scarcely any of the time when the change was taking place. And besides, he was so unfortunate as to have around him some very evil spirits who had such a hold upon him that it was not an easy work to cause them to leave him. Of course, we could have dispersed them without any difficulty by the mere exercise of our will, but that was not the desirable or effective way of ridding him of these incubi, for whenever we should leave him they would return to him and his condition become much worse than the Paget messages 1916, before. And consequently, the only effective way and the one that was pursued, and the only one that can be with certain and lasting results pursued, was to have his soul develop, so that in itself it would possess that power that would cause these spirits to leave him and render him innocuous to their influences, whether we were present or not. And in this we were successful. And all this means that our work was simply to turn his thoughts to the Father and to cause him to have faith in prayer, for when all is said, it was the result of prayer that brought the divine love which made him able, because of his own soul's power, to disperse and keep from him these evil spirits. And in this I do not intend to be understood as meaning that he was relieved from the presence of these spirits in the way of attempting to communicate with him, for that amounts to very little as regards his soul condition, but I do mean that the influence of these spirits on the condition of his soul became of no effect, and that they could not, after he received this power, affect the transformation and growth of his soul. As long as he, or any other mortal, remains mortal, he will be visited at times by some of these undesirable spirits, and will feel their influence in a spiritual sense, but they will never have any power to swerve his soul from its progression to the higher development. The fight, of course, will continue all through the earth life, and at times the influence of these spirits upon his mental faculties and animal appetites may tend, for the time being, to retard or hold still the progress of his soul development. But directly, these evil influences can never have any effect upon the condition or qualities of his soul. I want him to fully grasp the meaning of what I have written, and in the future, no matter how discouraged he may feel or how much his mentality may suggest the existence of things in him that are injuring his soul or taking from it the presence of possession of this divine love, he must believe what I have told him, and that he has fought the battle of the soul and won, and that this love is his and cannot be taken from him by the wiles of Satan, as the preachers say. It may lie dormant to his consciousness, and the happiness that arises from its active existence may seem to leave him, yet the love is there and will assert itself. Temptations will come to him, and he must continue to fight, not to keep the love, but to prevent the love from becoming dormant and the happiness from disappearing. He has had his resurrection from death to life, and he cannot die again. I would like to write longer, but others desire to write and I must stop. So, with my love and blessings on you both, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, the grandfather of Eugene. I was his father's father, and died ever so many years ago. I'm in the celestial heavens, for many years ago I learned the way to the heaven of the soul. I have been interested in my grandson's experience, and have been with him on many occasions, trying to influence him with my prayers and love. And in the spirit world I have been with his father, attempting to show him the truth, and to some extent I succeeded, but strange as it may seem to you both, this influence that I speak of has never been so effective as since the time when Eugene's father came in rapport with him so that he could write through him and speak to his inner ear. There is something so mysterious about the effect that the rapport with the human has on the mortal in the way of helping the spirit to progress, that we who are of the higher spheres cannot fully understand it. But the fact remains that since the time his father first came in rapport with him, the father has made more soul development than in all the years before. The influence of spirit upon spirit seemed to increase, so that the one in the lower condition would listen, and strive to progress. These things are wonderful, even to us, and I realize more clearly since the experience of my grandson commenced, the great work that mortals may do among spirits, when a mortal has in him that which is able to awaken the spirit to a realization of his true condition. I have been with all the family that I left behind, and have seen, and now see, the great difference in their condition of soul and estate, and why such differences should exist is to me not clearly understood. Of course, my love to all was the same and my desire that everyone should progress equally was impartial, but yet, the fact is that equal progress was not made. I was so glad when I heard John deliver the message that you have just received. Of course, I know the fact, but it is so satisfying to have my grandson told the truth by a spirit of such high estate and development as is John. Tell my boy to read the message and understand its full significance, and he will then possess a knowledge 449, the Paget Messages 1916, that will help him in many difficulties that he will encounter in his earth life. I am often with him and with his sisters who are in the spirit world, and they are very happy, and he may become so, too, even while on earth. Of course, my home is in a higher plane than those of his sisters or parents, and our attractions are somewhat different and I am not with them so often as he may suppose, but I love them very much and am with them whenever I see that I can help them with my love or influence. Our love for our children remains with us a long time after we become spirits, and I have not yet realized that it has left me, but it grows weaker as the space between us in our soul development widens, and the laws of attraction carry our affections to others who are more nearly like us in our development. This I am told is the experience of many who have lived in the spirit life for a long time, and to a certain extent I feel it myself, but, strange as it may appear, this law does not seem to apply between the spirit, no matter how great its development, and a mortal relative. And so it should be. Hence, my interest in my grandson is just as great as it could be, and in all my progression there has been a love in my being that has drawn me to him and caused me to look after and pray for his welfare. I write thus tonight, because I desire him to know something of spirit laws that he may not know, and to assure him that though he may not have any remembrance of me as the earthly grandfather, yet to me he is as dear as if I had left the earth and him yesterday. Of course, the time will come when we may have no recollection or memory of each other and our love become a misty dream, but as long as he continues on earth he will remain the child of my care and love. Well, I have written enough, and must stop. So with my love to him, and the blessings of God on you both, I will say good night, grandfather of Eugene Morgan. I am here, your own dear, loving sister, of Eugene. I have never written before. I want to say a word and tell him how happy I am, and largely because I realize that he has received the great love of the Father in his soul. Oh, I cannot express my feelings, as I am now writing for the first time, but he must try to understand what I would desire to say if I had the ability to express myself. 450. We are all very happy, and especially Mother, and as she listened to John writing his message she became so overcome with her emotions that she could scarcely breathe, as you would say. She was so happy, and praised the Father with all her soul's thankfulness, and cried in joy big tears of happiness and love. And so were we also very happy. We are all progressing very rapidly, and our cousin who has so recently come to us, and whom Eugene is so much interested in and has helped so much, is progressing also, and is in the third sphere, a marvelous evidence of progress in so short a time. But she is so earnest in her seeking, and as I sometimes tell her in joke, for fear that her Catholic friends will take her back to count her beads and worship the saints, and believe what the priests tell her, that she seems to never tire of praying and reaching out in her soul's longings for the great things that are ahead for her to obtain, as some of the higher spirits have told her. It is wonderful, and if my dear brother could only see how much he has helped her, he would never, for one moment, doubt the reality of this love, which he spoke to her so often about, even though it apparently, at the time, made no impression. We all sent him our love and want him to know that we are with him, trying to help him in every way, spiritually and materially, and when I say this I speak for the whole family. As this is my first attempt at writing, I am a little tired and must stop, but as I have made a first effort, I should like to come sometime and write him a longer letter. So, thanking you, I will say good night. I am the sister that he used to think was so loving to him, and careful of his wants, sister of Eugene Morgan. Well, old fellow, how are you? I am not going to tell you who I am until the end, but I want to say that I have been listening tonight to the writings and also to the comments you made, and you are very fortunate in having such evidence come to you, for you have more than one witness to a fact, and there are none to contradict, except some funny fellow who tried to tell Mr. Morgan that one of his witnesses was someone else, but he was not successful, as another witness heard him and put him hors combat, incapacitated, as the Frenchman says. But I know that what has been written you tonight is true and was written by the persons who pretended to write. Even that Indian who claimed to be the earth guide of Mr. Morgan's father when the Paget messages 1916 on earth was a real, true witness. In this case the truth of the claim that Mr. Morgan is entitled to make is established, and he must believe what was written him, and how thankful he should be that it is true. If I could only have had such a great blessing conferred on me when a mortal, how many weary hours of darkness and suffering I would have avoided when I came to the spirit world. He must believe and in believing, realize that he has that which thousands of spirits in darkness would give the world, as we said on earth, to have. Well, I have progressed very much, and am still progressing, and am in the third sphere. And what happiness and glory are mine! Never, when on earth, did I conceive of such beauty and magnificence, and peace and rest in action. The lifetime of an octogenarian would not enable me to describe the wonders and beauties of this place, and I feel that somehow you should know something of it, but I will not try it tonight as it is late. But let me tell you that I could not exchange one little moment of the bliss I have here for a whole lifetime of earthly happiness. I know now what the divine love means and what the new birth is that you used to tell me about, and when I thought that these things were the creatures of the imaginations or speculations of the priests and preachers and religious cranks, I little realized that they would become mine and things of greater reality than the sun that used to shine in my office windows. Sometime I will come and write you a long letter describing my progress, for which you are so much responsible and for which I will never cease to thank you as long as eternity lasts. I remember your friend and I am very glad that he has some of the love in his soul and did not wait to get it until he came to the spirit world and suffered the darkness and torment that I suffered. He is a fortunate man, and if any man should thank God and the good spirits, he should, and you, too. Well, I will not write more tonight. So, with my love and best wishes for your welfare and happiness, I consign myself, as I never in all the long years of my earth experience thought possible, your brother in Christ, Q.T. Daggett. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, I am glad that Mr. Morgan called tonight, for the assurance that he received from John and the other spirits will do him good, and 451, strengthen his faith in the fact that he is now a possessor of the divine love. I can add my little testimony also, and while it may not have the weight of some who have written, yet it comes from knowledge to which is added the love of a sister in the faith. I am glad that he has this great possession, for I see that he is a man of deep conviction, and when once convinced of the truth of any proposition he is firm in maintaining such truth. As you have received so much tonight, I will not write more, and only say that I love you with all my heart and soul, and am happy when I see you happy. So love me and give me my kiss and go to bed. Your own true and loving, Helen. November 5, 1916. I am here, St. Luke. I come tonight to write you a message upon the truth of what the Holy Spirit is. I know that the Orthodox generally believe and classify it as a part of the Godhead, being one with and the equal of God, the Father, and not merely a manifestation of the Father, as Spirit, and hence, necessarily identical with the Father, though having a different and distinct personality. In this belief and in this classification is included Jesus, having a distinct personality. The Orthodox preachers and theological writers teach that it is a fact that these three are one, co-equal and existing, and that fact is the great mystery of God, and that men should not endeavor to fathom the mystery, because the sacred things of God are his own, and it is not lawful for men to enter into these secrets. Well, this declaration and admonition are very wise as men's wisdom goes, and saves the expounders of these doctrines of mystery from attempting to explain what they cannot explain, because it is impossible for them to unravel that which is a fact, has no existence. Men of thought all down the ages have sought to understand this great mystery, as they called it, and have been unsuccessful, and as the early fathers met with the same defeat in their endeavors to understand the mystery, and, then because of such defeat, declared the explanation of the doctrine to be a secret of God, not to be inquired into by men. So all these other investigators of the church, when they became convinced of the futility of the search, adopted the admonition of the old fathers that God's secret must not be inquired into. The Paget Messages 1916, for it belonged to him alone, and sinful man and the redeemed man also must respect God's secret. And thus from the beginning of the established church, after the death of Jesus and his apostles, was declared this doctrine of the Trinity, one in three and three in one, yet only one, and made the vital foundation stone of their visible church's existence. Of course, from time to time, there arose men, both in the church, who, having more enlightenment than their brothers in the church, attempted to gainsay the truth of the doctrine and declared and maintained that there was only one God, the Father. But they were in the minority, and not acting with the more powerful, their views were rejected, and the mystery became the church's sacred symbol of truth, unexplainable and therefore more certain and entitled to more credence. And it seems to be the tendency of men's minds, or at least of those who believe in the Bible as the inspired word of God, to welcome and encourage as the more wonderful and important and the more to be cherished those things which savor of the mysterious, rather than those which a man may read and understand as he runneth, Habakkuk 2:2. Nowhere, not even in the Bible, is there any saying of Jesus to the effect that God is tripartite, consisting of the Father, Son and Holy Ghost, and, as a fact, never did Jesus when on earth teach any such doctrine, but only this, that the Father is God and the only God, and that he, Jesus, is his Son and the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead, and that the Holy Ghost is God's messenger for conveying the divine love, and as such, the Comforter. I know that in some of the Gospels, as now contained in the Bible and adopted as canonical, it is said, in effect, that the Godhead consists of the Father, Son and Holy Ghost. These three are one, but such Gospels do not contain the truth in this respect and are not the same Gospels that were originally written. These original Gospels have been added to and taken from in the passing of the years and in the copying and the recopying that occurred before the adoption of the same. They, the adopted ones, were compiled from many writings, and as the compilers in those early times differed in their opinions as men do now respecting religious truths, the more powerful of these having authority to declare what should be accepted, according to their interpretations of those manuscripts that were being copied, directed the copies to be made in accord with their ideas, and I may say, desires, and announced and put 452, forth such productions to be true copies of the originals. And as these copies were successively made, the preceding ones were destroyed, and hence the earliest existing manuscripts of these Gospels came into being many years after the originals from which they were claimed to be compiled, were written and destroyed. And I, Luke, who did write a Gospel and who am acquainted with the present Gospel ascribed to me, say that there are many vital things and declarations, that I never wrote and that are not true, contained in it, and many truths that I did write are not contained therein, and so with the other Gospels. In none of our Gospels did the mystery of the Godhead appear, and that for the reason that there was not and is not, and we did not teach that there was any Godhead, composed of three personalities, only one God, the Father. Jesus was a Son of Man in the natural sense, and a Son of God in the spiritual sense, but he was not God or a part of God in any sense except that he possessed the divine love of the Father, and in that sense was a part of his essence. The Holy Spirit was not God, but merely his instrument, a spirit, the Holy Spirit. As you have been informed, the soul of man existed prior to man's creation in the flesh, and was the only part of man that was made in the image of God. It existed in this pristine state without individuality, though having a personality, and resembled the great soul of the Almighty, which soul is God himself, though the soul that was given to man was not a part of the great soul, merely a likeness of it. Some of you mortals have said that man's soul is a part of the oversoul, meaning the soul of God, but this is not true, and if in any of our communications it has been said that the soul of man is a part of the soul of God, and I mean while it existed before its incarnation, our saying must not be so interpreted. The ego of God, as may be said, is the soul, and from this soul, emanates all the manifested attributes of God, such as power and wisdom and love, but not jealousy or wrath or hatred, as some of the writers of the Bible have said, for he possesses no such attributes. The ego of man is the soul, and in his created purity and perfection from his soul emanated all the manifested attributes belonging to him, such as power and love and wisdom, and neither were jealousy nor hatred nor wrath attributes of his before his fall. The Paget Messages 1916. It is said that man is composed of body, soul and spirit, and this is true. From your life